Greetings and welcome back.
Welcome.
To the Skulls and Dollars podcast with H&M. You know, you can find us on any place you listen to podcasts. Apple, Spotify, Amazon, all the good things. So hopefully tell a friend to tell a friend about Skulls and Dollars. And, you know, we'll keep it going. Yeah. Miss M.
We're growing, I heard.
Yes, we're growing. So keep telling people, keep listening. Yeah, we'll keep sharing information. Mm-hmm. And the best part about this is that, you know, the information is free.
Absolutely free.
And it's really from our perspective of just what we've seen as school counselors and, you know, working in the community and around the country with, you know, students preparing for college, students and parents. Yep. Preparing for college. And
I listened on my way. I told you I went to the college fair today.
Yeah.
I listened on the way back in the traffic jam.
Yes.
Why not pop it on? Yes.
Yeah, I listened on the way to work. So some of mm-hmm. you are doing that. Some of you are listening while you're in the kitchen cooking or whatever mm-hmm. you're doing. Wherever, just get the information. And, of course, share, like, and follow our podcast. We'll be dropping information, you know, each week.
Yes.
How's your week been?
We had a good week. Let's see what went on. Senior parent night. We had that this past week. Parents, again, I think we shared that before. That's another opportunity for you to receive some great information from your school counseling office and other resources. We brought in other resources as well. TRIO, I think, was talking about a program that will assist students with FAFSA.
Yeah.
Even if you're not a part of their program, there's another grant pot of money that they have set aside to help those parents and students.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. So FAFSA is October 1st.
Correct.
I had a parent to tell us that that they'd already done the FAFSA.
Oh, okay.
She wanted to argue about it. I did not because it wasn't worth arguing about.
Right.
But, you know, they know everything. I think, you know, when you're coming to things and you're learning about the types of programs and things you have when you go in there to ask parents and students, you know, don't have to necessarily ask the questions. I found it interesting that, you know, I was like, oh, October 1st, you know, and she's like, oh, yeah, we've already done that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. And she had, because I'm not calling you a liar.
Yeah.
Ma'am, she had, but it was for this past school year. So mm-hmm. you got to make sure that one is open.
It is.
And you can fill it out for 22-23, but it doesn't help you.
Right.
If you're not filling it out for 23-24.
Correct.
Okay. So that information will be shared there. I told her I said it's saved. You go in there and you'll update it.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to make sure that October 1st you're ready to go. The earlier the better, I think, for the FAFSA. So you can go ahead and start collecting that information. I know a lot of people are, you know, use extensions and different things. Yep. And they're hesitant about going ahead and doing that. But
and before you start, just make sure you ask questions.
Yeah.
Because your FAFSA application can really mess you up
yes.
if you don't do things the right way.
It is your application too.
Yes.
So there's not just one, and I'm sharing this because there's not just one way to tell you what mm-hmm. to do, right? So mm-hmm. we run into different things. Some of you that are listening are guardians. Some of you are grandparents. Some of you have people, are aunts and uncles, and somebody's been living with you since the past 7 years, but you let their parents mm-hmm. still claim them yes. on taxes and those things. And so you have those specific questions. I don't necessarily have the answers for you, but there is a specific way.
And I always tell them that is not my lane.
Yeah, the FAFSA is a governmental lane.
Yes, yes. I know a little bit about it. I'm sure you do. But, you know, when you get to those different scenarios with who's living with who's claiming who.
Right.
What state you're living in, military stuff, you want to ask the right people.
And I always tell, like, I have a friend, you know, who's got a son that's graduating this year, and I think somebody else been claiming him.
Mm-hmm.
Her baby daddy been claiming mm-hmm. him for the past few years right. and those things, and he didn't live there, so now it's who's going to be counting on the mm-hmm. the FAFSA, and right. there's a lot with that. Like Ms. Milbauer said, it could put you in a situation where you can or cannot or will not receive some of those scholarships, so it's important to get it done, but not so important that you would rush through and
correct.
Miss an opportunity to get it done right.
Right.
Because, you know, once it's on hold, you have to kind of get things, go, you know, back and forth. So you can always get, there are people who can help you.
Yes.
The people who do your taxes can help you kind of navigate some of the questioning on there. But only you know that part. And so I've already gotten two questions so far about FAFSA, and they've been very specific to that situation. And always, and you know, just to reiterate what Ms. M said.
Yeah. And so that was one thing. So just, they didn't go into detail, but just to let them know that the resource was there. And then after October 1st, they will be back
know,
at our school. We had the military come in.
Yeah.
Because our senior parent night is not just for those students going to a 2-year or 4-year school. But they were talking about the ASVAB and preparing for the ASVAB. You know, sometimes I encourage my students to take the ASVAB, you know, even if they're not going into the military. It's just another time test that will help them, because our students don't partake
this group of students going through right now, the timed issue was, you know, is a thing. And so our students just took it last week. And, you know, the feedback I got from the students was, you know, I'm not used to, I was trying to rush because it was timed. And, you know, they don't have to have time. You know, they may be doing different things for assignments, but a lot of times it's not actually timed.
Right.
So like Mubarak said, even if you're not going to the military, it's actually a good test to get feedback from anyway.
Yeah. Even for just job outlooks.
Right.
And what you would be. And I think that, that ASVAB is one of the reasons why Jordan kind of narrowed down that environmental field,
the
engineering field. So it helped because she took the ASVAB.
So keep in mind, you know, sign up. A lot of schools is free.
It is.
Take advantage of that. I know there's the fall administration at most schools. And then, of course, there's a spring one. So take advantage of that before you have to start paying for it.
Right. And also, because some of my students, I think Goose Creek, and there was a student from Hanahan, because he had such a high ASVAB score, ACT and GPA, there was like a different track that the military put him on where he wouldn't have to go directly into the military, but they were willing to pay for
college. Yeah, I was one of our students as well. So I think the ACT score was high enough and took the ASVAB, did really well. And I believe the Naval Academy gave the scholarship, and he was able to choose, you know, from all the schools that had Navy, Armed, JROTC, and different things at their at the university. He could choose and go there for free.
Yeah, and it was some kind of deferred entry or something.
Right.
He was, this student, Josue, was able to do. So, again, you know, parents, if your children are interested in that path, and again, I've shared before, there are a number of colleges and universities that if you participate in that ROTC program, a lot of them will pay your tuition or either your room and board.
Right.
So that's another option to put in when you're putting your package together for scholarship.
Yeah. ROTC is a great option and a way to get involved and stay involved on your college campuses. Students would love to do that. I know that the state of South Carolina, I found out, is moving to, if you've done all 4 years of JROTC in high school, then you'll be a completer. Yeah, I just heard that. Probably yesterday, maybe. So that's a way to, you know, show commitment to colleges too. So a lot of students, you know, they might even do ROTC 2 and 3. So, you know, and this is a good segue into what we're talking about today, which is activities and getting involved, which is why I thought about it. So I did find that out. So that's a way to become a completer and considered career ready as well. And I guess, you know, talking about activities, I was on my Instagram, and that's kind of how I thought about what we need to talk about today, because talking to students, they don't, they have no idea. And you mentioned Jordan on an episode or two ago, not being sure how to put what organizations and clubs and activities that they're a part of, and you know, how colleges might find value. So a little bit about that.
So one of the things that we share in our boot camps, for those who have participated or anticipate and participating in one of our extreme scholarship boot camps, we share about a success resume. Now, some people call it your brag sheet, your academic resume, some other things, but a little bit different, parents and students that are listening, from your resume if you're applying for a job. You know, no job descriptions.
Right.
It's really your brag sheet. It's things that you have been doing. I always say from middle school, maybe 7th or 8th grade, because there are some really great kids in middle school, junior beta club, junior honor society. you know, being a part of a club or organization, being a officer right. in those clubs and organizations, and then moving on into high school. But the reason we encourage students to do a success resume, because it's used as a guide
right.
Or a tool. I love them for paper applications because, again, instead of writing down every time, you know, list your clubs and organizations. You just put see attachment.
You can attach, right.
You can send in your resume. List your awards. List your leadership roles.
Right.
You can just put a star, see attachment, and send in your resume. But, like I said before, a lot of things have moved online.
Mm-hmm.
So you just pull out your resume and you use that as a guide. And that's why I was saying with Jordan. Jordan, pull out your resume.
Yeah.
You know, why are you? Because, again, she's only putting in things off the top of her head.
Right.
That's the whole purpose of the resume. So you're not just doing things from memory. And so just, you know, different examples, you know, what do you put on a resume? Again, talking about clubs and organizations. And again, I encourage students, I'm doing this with my ninth grader now, find a few clubs
right.
and organizations that, you know, you may be interested in. I try to get Addison, you know, join with Jordan's joint. So that wasn't an option. And you know that you want them to
be different. Either,
yeah. So, you know, I allowed her to find some clubs
yeah.
and organizations. But parents, again, specifically for those clubs that offer scholarship money.
Right.
And I think that's one of the things we definitely need to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Doing your research early, even before your child arrives yeah. to high school.
Right.
You know, if they offer Beta Club and National Honor Society and FCCLA, a lot of these clubs and organizations offer scholarship money.
Right.
So we're still bringing it back to mm-hmm. being a well-rounded student, but also potentially getting those scholarships.
And the way you get scholarships for those clubs mm-hmm. is actually, you know, having leadership roles
yeah.
and being active. Being active
and consistent.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of my seniors now, Ms. M, can I join Beta Club, you know, this year? Can I join Technical Honor Society? Which I let them in, but I know they're probably not going to be able to compete with some of those students who can check off 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things, you know, it's kind of like that laundry list.
Mm-hmm.
I remember from being a college admissions officer, we can tell when you've just joined every mm-hmm. club mm-hmm. senior year because, you know, it'll have that year.
Right, right.
And then your membership.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so there's a lot to be said for that.
Right.
And at our school, I think the Mad Dash is for cords.
Oh, my goodness. That's a great.
They want a cord. They don't care. They're like, you know, we got to get blood three times and we get a cord. I said something about, you know, being an office helper or student assistant in the front mm-hmm. office. Is that you get a cord for that? No. That's you know, exactly do you know? Right. So now all our officers are mm-hmm. SGA officers. At this school, they mm-hmm. have cords. I'm like, you know, I don't know.
Right.
But, you know, these are things that mm-hmm. are important to see actual ocular proof that you were part of
right.
something.
Right.
You know, ROTC gets super special to people when they start being able to get their stoles and mm-hmm. the different pins and all that different stuff. So I have, you know, mixed feelings about joining the clubs late.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't necessarily help your resume.
Right.
And not necessarily for those scholarships because the people you'd be competing with are people who go to Beta Club Convention every year, or even if they weren't successful and they didn't
officers,
win the officers, they're running for office.
Doing fundraisers.
Right.
Community service. Yeah.
And then you can get letters of recommendation from those people.
Correct.
Who saw you do that. Not just your advisor, right?
Correct.
So if you did community service for the Humane Society, mm-hmm. getting that recommendation letter from them to show that you were spearheading that is also important.
Absolutely. And again, going back to the Chick-fil-A, the community service
oh, yeah.
scholarship, that breakdown. You have to list your clubs and organizations, your leadership, community service. But again, it's checking off, you know, when did you join this club? So what year? And then how long have you been a member? So you're checking off 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th, or like most people with National Honor Society, most of us, I think they end up joining like 10th grade.
Right.
After your 9th grade year. And so you're checking off 10th, 11th, 12th,
right.
things like that.
Yeah. And then if, you know, so because every school is different, schools mm-hmm. can't really judge, right? So
mm-hmm.
if you have a very inactive, they're active, but mm-hmm. not active is what I mean, like National Honor Society.
Yes.
Some National Honor Society kids you don't see except when they get inducted,
mm-hmm.
and you know they have a National Honor Society stole at graduation.
Yes.
And then some schools, you know, they're actually involved, they're mm-hmm. competing statewide, nationally, and that's where you're going to see some difference there. So
yes.
if you're in National Honor Society, I always tell students, if you're in National Honor Society, National Technical Honor Society, mm-hmm. National Spanish Honor Society, mm-hmm. French Honor Society, we even have National Dance Honor Society now. If you have that,
mm-hmm.
You know, what schools are looking for is for you to have some leadership roles in those, because you kind of just, you should, if you're mm-hmm. top of the class, you should be in National Honor Society. Yeah. You should be in Beta Club. But what are you doing as a part of those organizations, correct. Or other organizations that you're actually, you know,
correct,
can gain some experience yes. doing?
And I always tell parents and students when I'm showing them the resume, you know, you put National Honor Society. And again, this is just what we work with.
Right.
You know, some information we've shared through PACE. But you put, you know, National Honor Society or Woodland High School, National Honor Society. And if you are an officer, you put it in bold, you
right.
know, president or vice president, whatever, you know, so they can see that, okay, hey, she's been a member, but she's also an officer
mm-hmm.
In that organization as well. So again, that'll help you stand out.
Yeah. And for like student government, I had some students, you know, student government,
Jordan,
you got
student government.
You know, I wish ours was more active at my mm-hmm. school, but, you know, no school is the same.
Right.
So you could say, okay, Jordan School or some schools I know, you know, they're like STUCO, you mm-hmm. know, student council, and they are all mm-hmm. in, and they do different things in the community. They really drive change at their school. And then mm-hmm. you have people who just run for office and all they do is hold that office.
That is true. Yeah.
So you want to make sure that, again, you know, you have the opportunity to make some impact mm-hmm. in that, in those positions. And so I really think, if you think about student government and you do become an officer, what can you do? So if you're a part of a school or, you know, parents and students that are listening, you know, my child's school doesn't really do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, people just run just to put their name down.
Right.
You know, you could go to that advisor and say, well, I'd like to do mm-hmm. X, Y, Z.
And 9 times out of 10. To look at other schools, too.
Yes.
It's okay.
Yeah.
You know, to see what they're doing and what's mm-hmm. working for their school. I know the state convention will be held this year at Sumter High.
Okay.
Because Jordan's little friend Carrington is the state president.
Okay.
So wherever the state president attends school, that's usually where they host the state convention.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so that will be there. Some of them have been to Cherry Grove, so they're really involved in Sumter High. But, and I'm just telling parents this as well, I told Jordan, I know student government is important to her. She's been doing it since probably elementary school, but that was not the only organization
right.
she was going to spend her time.
But right off the top of her head, yes. that's the most important one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. If I had to think, if she was going to rank her clubs and organizations, student government would probably be at the top of her list. So she does, I mean, they do fundraisers, a snack cart mm-hmm. during lunch, and then a lot of that money, like during Christmas, they buy toys and donate it to the Stuff the Bus
yeah.
campaign, and they buy their t-shirts and other things from that little snack cart.
Well, that's fundraiser. A good idea. Mm-hmm. So I see, and where at my school, student mm-hmm. government is planning homecoming week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The little themes. The theme
yeah, but that yeah, would be they, about the extent of what we see from mm-hmm. student government. And
right.
so, you know, we have an advisor that's trying to push them in that direction, but we're really looking for like new life.
Yes.
So, you know, so you parents who have middle school students and eighth and ninth graders, you can change
mm-hmm.
that. And those are the things you want to put on, you know, in your college application yeah. to be able to say
that you, and even if you spearheaded an event.
Exactly. You know,
yeah.
So you've seen, okay, well, you know, this girl, Jordan, they talk about on this show, she's at Sumter High.
Mm-hmm.
And you go online and you look up their student government. It's like, oh, well, they did this, or they do Stuff the Bus, or mm-hmm. I would love to do something. So, you know, you can do that yeah. with activities. I think a lot of times teachers are looking, like, we just reactivated the Key Club
oh, yeah.
and the Anchor Club yeah. and mm-hmm. brought those things back. Like, yeah. they had kind of during COVID, and we had some teachers move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so different advisors and things that students can't control.
Right.
You know, cause things to kind of slow down. So we're reactivating those charters and getting it yeah. back going. You know, now we got to find somebody to do Beta Club. Like, it's a lot of different things that happen that are outside of the student control.
Right.
But, you know, little impacts like going to your current advisor or mm-hmm. principals to ask, can these things happen? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it takes some student initiative, and you can always use that as an experience, right?
I agree. One of the clubs, when Chanel was in school, they wanted to do DECA. Well, DECA had kind of phased out
right.
at Sumter High School. So she reached out to one of the teachers, and she, ninth grade, she said, you know, if you set everything up, you tell me where I need to go and apply, you know, to reinstate it at the school. Chanel kind of walked her through mm-hmm. it. And they really just need a body, you know,
yeah,
a teacher.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's ran by the students. Mm-hmm. Most clubs are.
Right.
They just needed an adult to, you know, be present. But, yeah, so that's one of the things she talked about. One time seeing a need for a particular club.
Right.
And the steps she went through to bring that particular club back.
And I think that's, so mm-hmm. to me, mm-hmm. When we're talking about, a lot of times students are like, oh, we don't have anything at my school. You know, when I'm working with students, oh, well, he didn't get involved in anything because he didn't like anything at school. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he didn't play sports. And so, you know, some schools are heavily sports centered. And because of that, some of their other organizations may not, you know, develop. Right. And so that's why I'm sharing, you know, mm-hmm. this, and why I wanted Mrs. M to share more about, you know, what can go on those success resumes and how we can make sure our students are really taking advantage of the opportunity. Because, you know, it's not just school.
No. And that was
and that's
say
where
that.
We got to get to next. Yeah. So how do you add those other ones?
Right. So again, I will stress, parents, students, educators that are listening, all clubs and organizations are not found in your high school or in your middle school. There are virtual organizations that you can join. One that comes to mind is NSBE, National Society of Black Engineers.
Right.
They actually offer a virtual option for high school, middle and high school students.
All right, awesome.
I think it's like $10, mm-hmm. you know, to join. Each year you get access to some of their Zoom links that, you know, they do little info sessions.
Yeah.
Things like that. If they are having a convention or whatever event in your state, then they'll share that information. You get the newsletter every month.
Yeah.
Girl Scouts went virtual with COVID, and they're still virtual. There's a really great program called, it's Be Strong, and Jordan is a South Carolina rep, where they do virtual mental health awareness or like a check-in, like a virtual check-in with their peers. And I mean, that's some, they meet, I think, every 90 days, but they do like a little rehash on, you know, this is what you need to look for. And, you know, you yourself don't try to take it on, you know, but if you see a peer in trouble, who to report to.
Right.
That kind of stuff. So.
Well, there's some people who, you know, there's always sororities and fraternities that have mentoring mm-hmm. programs. And I've seen a lot more of those popping up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, you know, it's just about the nudge mm-hmm. of the child in that direction. You know, a lot of parents, you know, like, oh, well, he wouldn't do that. He's got this or he's mm-hmm. got whatever. But it never fails. Mm-hmm. I have students who play all these sports. And then we get down to senior year, they're trying to fill up a success resume or prepare.
Right.
And, you know, the parents like, well, he didn't do anything. He was mm-hmm. just playing, you know, football and baseball. And in the summer, we, you know, we do travel, basketball.
Perfect.
And we do all these different things. Well, of course, that can go on your resume. Mm-hmm. However, you know, that after practice, you know, we, you know, I encourage students to get involved. Mm-hmm. So as a former basketball coach, you know, I was like, well, you know, after practice, that's our time. Mm-hmm. But because, you know, I need my students to get involved. Like, for example, we had cheer practice on Thursday. And, you know, the decision was made by the coaches and our head coach to cancel cheer because mm-hmm. Anchor was having their initiation day, and we have 11 girls that are going to be on Anchor.
Okay.
And so.
And what is Anchor?
Anchor Club is just service.
Oh,
service. It's a sister to the Key.
Okay.
People.
Yeah.
So they, you know, so they were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And so before we made them choose or be feeling awkward about it.
Absolutely.
Adults who are listening, and counselors and coaches and those things, you can make things just a little bit easier sometimes, you know, to do that. Now, if we had like a competition the next day mm-hmm. or whatever, I don't know if it would be as easy, but when you can excuse some of that. One thing I did was I didn't start varsity practice until 4:30 after I started, you know, getting the kids involved. You mm-hmm. know, I had a student government president on the team. I had different people who are doing different clubs after school, and I want them to go get involved in their clubs. Mm-hmm. So we can't say that we're building well-rounded students if we discourage them from getting involved in other things. And so that was really a message for the people who work at the school that I know you're listening, and you can get mad at me, but I think you make better students when they're involved. And there's little things you can do to not make it so difficult.
Yes, and communicate.
Just communication.
I tell my AD, like, we have to share these kids, you know.
Yeah, and it's not just like, it's not like you got detention.
Right.
If you're going to National Honor Society mm-hmm. meeting for 30 minutes, mm-hmm. you know, get the information, and you know, you may have to ask your advisor to leave a little early.
That's exactly right.
But it's just, mm-hmm. either way, it's communication.
Because that's, you know, they kept saying, well, how are your kids, you know, playing a sport? Like, Chanel played varsity volleyball. There's no way that Chanel is doing, you know, X amount of clubs and organizations, and she's playing varsity volleyball. And I'm saying, it's all about communication. Yeah. You know, and I always say, you know, I say, tell your coach, an opportunity has it presented itself for you to, you know, increase your ACT or SAT score. Right. So I got to go to this, you know, boot camp or whatever for ACT, SAT. And, you know, it's either yes or no. They're going,
but right.
You need to ask, you know.
Got
to
ask.
Even with ACT, when you shared the dates, ACT will share your dates, I think early. Almost a year.
Early, yeah. Yes.
So there's no way in December, even with working, mm-hmm. that you already know that you have to work in these, like you can't put in to go in later or not at all for that particular day.
You got to make the time to do the things. So, for example, I think there's something's October 1st, mm-hmm. SAT.
One of them.
Yeah, SAT, maybe October 1st. And, you know, our homecoming is September 30th. Mm-hmm. And I got 17 candidates for homecoming on my court right mm-hmm. now, seniors,
mm-hmm.
you know, and 8 boys, 17 girls or something like that.
Right.
And I got a few that need to get up and go take their tests on Saturday.
Right.
And I told them beforehand, mm-hmm. you know, you have to plan accordingly. Whatever you're going to do after you win or lose homecoming, mm-hmm. you need to get up and be
right.
ready to go. Right. And coaches, you know, there's something, there's like a, I think the ACT is October 22nd.
Yes.
Well, you got that in advance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some college games that day. There's, I think it's Clemson homecoming mm-hmm. and all these different things. And people are making plans and like, oh, well, I can't take the ACT yeah. that day. It's Clemson's homecoming.
Right.
And, you know,
I
but,
hear it all.
But
the time.
But you have the dates. You know, it's important for us to prioritize mm-hmm. what we need to do for our children.
Right.
And so that's why we always advise, you know, when I'm talking to students who plan to go to college and be competitive,
mm-hmm.
they've taken the ACT and SAT prior to senior year to avoid some of these conflicts. Right. Now, some of us, it's too late now that are seniors. But
right.
if you're a junior and you don't have the same kind of commitments, mm-hmm. If you are a sophomore and you know this is what I'm trying to – to earn, you know, full scholarships, and I want to go ahead and test. I've taken Algebra 2. I'm going to hop on it. You know, go ahead and sign up for these tests in the spring. The right. dates are out there.
They're out there.
So just plan accordingly.
And you can register ahead.
Yes.
And that's when it, you know, you, just because the October 22nd test is coming up, you don't just, you need to use your waiver for that test. You can register for December. You can register for April.
Right.
February. You can register ahead. So if you don't know that, I'm telling you that.
Build it in your schedule.
Mm-hmm. Build it in your schedule.
And make sure that when you're building it in your schedule, you're having those conversations,
mm-hmm.
You know, with your child and parents, children with your parents about what you plan and have to do for that. But as far as your activities go, you know, you got now.
Mm-hmm.
You also have some churches that have some things going mm-hmm. on. I have a student that's really active in her church organizations, and the only club on campus mm-hmm. other than National Honor Society she's involved in is FCA, or Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Right.
Well, it all ties together.
Mm-hmm.
And
YPD.
Yeah.
I have some students that are really big in that area with their church. Travel. I mean, they do presentations.
Right.
They do fundraising. So it's actually a lot you can get just by being in that one club.
Right.
You know, a lot of opportunities to get that community service, to mentor to younger students as well. So you can really add to your resume. When we talked about ROTC, great resource to get leadership, to get those community service hours in, to learn how to present. One of our one of the responsibilities for the command of our ROTC program is that they have to put together a blood drive.
Mm-hmm.
From start to finish.
Right.
That's part of their job, and there's a scholarship for that.
Right.
Yeah. So the Leader Saves Lives, that's through the
Red Cross.
Red Cross.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's
So I think that that's something that, you know, since we have listeners all over the country, we're speaking, you know, generally speaking, all these organizations are available and you can get started and be committed. I have students who, you know, they do band 9th and 10th grade, and they're like, ah, I don't want to do band anymore. So I was like, well, what happened with band? Right. I just didn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's one you don't even want to play your instrument? Yeah, I'm tired of doing that. But being a part of the band, whether you march or not, you know, shows commitment to something.
Right.
Orchestra, art, you know, and we're not saying these are things that don't require you to necessarily stay after school.
Exactly.
You know, be an officer or compete in a way that, you know, you may not be interested in competing. This is just showing commitment. Mm-hmm. And a lot of schools will allow you to take advantage of that and then showing that, you know, during the day. So say you do have to work and you have been playing an instrument since sixth grade. But so you after school, you have to work. But being a part of the band or being a part of a concert band, you know, could be something that would be beneficial to you on your those you know, applications and on that success resume.
I absolutely agree. And there are some schools that will even give you honors credit.
Right.
If you stay in the band.
Yes.
And, you know, you could be recognized if you're first chair. Right. That's something you could put on your resume.
That is something you can put on your resume, unless you were like me and just settled for second chair. But the girl that got first chair, she did well with her life. So I'm not too upset. But I think that there are little things that you can do.
Oh, you can get creative with your resume. You know, people will say, oh, again, they weren't interested in clubs or organizations, but there's little things that you can do to create those entries for your resume.
Yeah, and so take advantage of, you know, asking people and the relationships you have with your teachers, because there may be a teacher you really like and you say, hey, I want a gaming club. Like, that's something that has been very popular at my school. They started a gaming club.
Right.
And, you know, you're bringing people out and doing those things, and they get to see all kinds, you make new friends. Mm-hmm. You got a teacher that also likes gaming. You know, they're getting a gaming chair now. They had a little fundraiser.
Right.
And so there's lots of things you can do, and those kids are just playing video games after school on Fridays. Mm-hmm. They don't want to go to the football game. They want somebody who's going to stay with them after school on Fridays. Together they eat, you know, pizza or whatever they're doing and play games against each other. And
and it is more than just the resume. It's an outlet for these kids, you know, being able to meet other people just like them, where they may have felt isolated or alone. So I think more than just for the resume, there's many opportunities for
students. And college is about you know, finding your own path and charting your course. And so college applications are designed to help college admissions officers see that you can do the same thing at that next level.
Right.
So, you know, definitely showing that you can start a club or have the idea to gather people is something that would be great, because colleges have the same role. Of course, you just need people.
Right.
You need an advisor of some sort.
Right.
And you can start clubs there in college. And like I tell people all the time, you know, you might be the only person that likes anime that you know in that one particular homeroom class, but I guarantee you.
You'd be surprised.
How, you know, an anime club could surface at your school. So just continue to kind of press on with that. I think it's really important for kids to be involved. Well-rounded students make college graduates, because you do have to be a little bit well-rounded and not be afraid to kind of step out of your box when you go on those college campuses. And some of you want to go to large college campuses where no one's coming to your room to say, hey, you need to come do this or you need to try this. But you can make the most out of those opportunities by joining clubs. I think sports is good too, like I said, but finding a balance as well.
And when we talked about adding on community service to your resume, one of the things that really worked with Chanel, my oldest, was, you know, during that time, this was years ago, you guys, but, you know, texting and driving was that real big initiative that was going on. So she set up a campaign, the Stop Texting, Just Drive. And she wrote a proposal to her principal. She wanted to do a week-long campaign, get students to sign a pledge.
Right.
You did the pledge, you got a T-shirt. Everyone, I think at the end of the week, wore their T-shirt and they took pictures. And so she was able to not only do that and do the community service, but able to write about it, you know, in her essay. She saw a need in her community. She referenced a young girl who lost her life with Texas, you know, so she kind of led into that with her essay. So, and a lot of those scholarships she received wanted to hear more about that particular, even though she was a part of other organizations, they wanted to know about that community service.
Well, that is important. Like, so something I shared the other day on my Instagram, future plans underscore is what that is. But I was talking about, there was a guy I do it, and he said that, you know, colleges don't want to know about your passion. They want to know about your impact. And I, you know, was like, wow, when he was first started talking, I was thinking colleges do want to know about your passion. But, you know, a great way to show them what you can possibly, what you can do. And like to your, you know, talking about Chanel there, that's exactly what it is. They were interested in her impact. So she had a passion for something. She's interested in something. But then, you know, they want to know the impact that she was able to make and hear more about that. So start thinking about it. You know, that's an easy, easier way to think about it. So you are passionate about it. So you want to be a vet and you're passionate about, you know, animals. But, you know, you've heard that there's, you know, 60 extra cats at the Humane Society. And, you know, they need to be, they need foster homes or homes. And so you go out to the Humane Society and you just ask them what you can do. And they say, well, we're going to do cat adoption. And you can go volunteer there. You can post the cats. You can play with the cats. You can do all sorts of things.
Or even just raising awareness for food.
That's something, you know,
just to, or do, I think one group did a school challenge for, you know, let's see who can donate the most food, you know, from different clubs and organizations. But again, that's a win-win. You know, you're getting the exposure out. You spearheaded this event. But then that particular organization, they were able to get
and they benefited from it. And it didn't, it wasn't just you doing it by yourself. A lot of times, like, I don't have no money to start, you know, a club, or they might have heard the idea about Chanel t-shirts. Well, I'm sure she got those donated. So, I mean, there's ways to do those things without having a buku of money. And people, you know, really, really respond to young people trying to drive, you know, action initiatives. And a lot like social media. You know, I found that I got a student I tried to hook up with, somebody who's running for an office. You know, they don't know how to use their social media. They don't know how, well, and if they do, they're not sure how to use it to gain followers or information and share the information quickly. And so that young person is going to be just running that person's social media just for the next till November.
And you can add that to
That's going to be on their resume.
You're giving your time. That's, you know, volunteer.
And that could be a 30 second. You know,
message. They don't know that you just
and you know, but you know, you commit to something that could help. You could help your church with their social media. You can, you know, a lot of you are learning how to code and different things. So you have a lot of skills that you don't know how to share. But I definitely wanted to, when we were talking about what we should talk about this episode, is definitely share how to build that success resume up. What else goes in there? So you got community service. You got your
leadership
activities and leadership.
I always say awards and recognitions as well. You know, sometimes students will receive beyond honor roll. You got honor roll is great, but you know, our students will sometimes forget about, you know, oh, I got a junior scholars award, or we do something in Sumter, the Golden Apple Award for, so they select 12 students in the county who do really great community service. And that's offered by the Chamber of Commerce, but most students don't, they don't associate that with like a high school award. But you can get creative. I mean, anything that you are awarded, you can put that on your resume.
Definitely. So if you've gotten, you know, like a officer recognition or something.
Or even a sport. One of my students, I think, was recognized on the news yesterday for the highest GPA or player of the week. It was player of the week. Player of the week. Again, that's something you can put on your resume.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be all academic. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that, you know, people would know exactly what it was, right? So you make that very clear. That could be like WLTX TV player of the week. You know, that's up to them to inquire more about that. You don't have to, you know, go into a whole bunch of detail. I think sometimes, you know, like, you know, I had a student say, well, you know, nobody's going to know what that is. And they'll inquire if they want to. And if it's important to you, that could be something you can write about or share about, you know, more in depth if it's something. But try to think about awards that you may have received, probably eighth grade and up, would you say?
Yeah, eighth grade and up. Yeah. And I'm always telling students and parents, it's all about your wording, national recognition or state level recognition or county, you know, just those things will stand out on those resumes as well.
Yeah, so just like your, you know, parents thinking about job resumes, the wording does does change some things, and you know, so if you've been in charge of something, you know, don't be modest. Don't be too wordy on that resume, right?
Right. Don't, and I always say use like those power words or those, you know, created, invented, spearheaded.
Right.
Yeah.
So make sure you do that, because we definitely want your success resumes to be on point as they go out, and they'll continue to go out. Like, you'll use that for your recommendation letters. I wish
that's another good point
that students were attaching success resumes to their recommendation request. You know, from me,
right?
As much as I know, it makes it easier. Know a lot of them. You know, we pretty much know all of our kids, but I would know so much more.
You can really personalize that recommendation. You can write it as if you're with them every day. You know, and you know all of their accomplishments. That resume will just make such a difference.
Yeah, and you get to know a little bit more about the student. Sometimes, you know, I found out students have been working, and you know, they've been working since they're as soon as they turned 15, they've been working, you know, 25 hours a week. I had no idea, because they were still involved in those things and still had a 4.0 GPA. And so it makes it easier to write about some of those students. And you want teachers and your counselors to write. You know, it's much easier when you get to Common App. You know this from getting to Common App, and ask if you want to write a review. You don't have to. In a lot of cases, you don't really have to have a letter, but you'd really encourage me to write a letter if I had more information. And so I think that that's also very, very important.
It is.
So that, remember, that success resume is not just for college applications.
And scholarship applications.
Scholarship applications.
Also for recommendation letters.
Because people, you know, your Algebra 2 teacher didn't know you before 10th or 11th grade in a lot of cases. And so that you could help him or her be able to write more about you.
And I think even with, what was it, the Girl State, I think standing out, you know, there were a lot of students that applied. So something in addition to your application, sending a resume, Girl State then knew, okay, well, this person is probably going to run for an office.
Or,
you know, because they are officers in other organizations instead of just being there. And you know, not being an active participant just because mom told me, you know, to go to the event. So I think that really helped.
Well, I definitely feel like Girl State, you know, it's always a big thing.
Girl State,
you know, and every school has different numbers students can have and all that. But if you're clamoring for those spots in Girl State, you know, think about that in 9th and 10th grade. So that, you know, it's not something that just shows up 11th grade, and not all you know, every school does it differently. It's not always the top GPAs that go. It should be the most involved students. And so just keep that in mind if that's something you want to add to your resume. Scholarships associated with Girl State?
Scholarships
and Boy State.
They are. And, you know, and just circling back to with the sports, and, you know, the parents were saying, well, how did Jordan or how did the other students attend Boy State or Girl State when they had football conditions?
Oh, man,
A lot of people gave up the opportunity for their sport.
I think for the past few years, we have gotten an alternate based on a football player being selected. And I get it. But I also think you know your student the best. I know that they want to be there for that first week or second week of football practice. So that's between you and their coach. But like, you know, it's just about building your program, about what you're saying you want. And so coaches, you can make some of that easier. Now, I don't coach football, so I don't feel like hearing all, you know, I'm okay.
But, you know, but great thing about my AD, he was all for it. He was like, listen, he gets that Boy State on his, you know, resume. Other schools are going to look at him. You know, the name itself carries a lot of weight, you know, Boy State and Girl State. So he pushes for it.
Well, you know, we just don't have, because we know that, you know, as a fall sport, we're competitive cheer, we just don't have practice that week. We want there to be somebody to, you know, or, you know, we just avoid the stress of, you know, doing things that would require, you know, the whole team to be there, because we do encourage students to go. And for the past few years, we've had somebody to go. So, you know, you just try to build your programs around student success in general. And I think if you do that, it kind of plays into what you want. Like, you want scholarships, you want students to be doing those things. And so, you know, I've had some students to walk on to sports since they've been at school. I want to share that because I think, you know, we're talking about full rides being possible. You know, your full ride is possible. And then when you get there to school and you don't have a bill, it's a lot easier for you to have that time to go, you know, ask, you know, email a coach, can you try out, you know, and those kind of things. And it may not be football right away. But those spaces become open when that coach doesn't have, you know, maybe not have a full roster, but he also doesn't have to attribute funds to your time there. And you can walk on and then, you know, earn a scholarship. So I've seen that be, I've seen it in fruition. Like, it's happening.
It is.
But full rides are possible. And I encourage so many of you to have those conversations.
Early.
Yes, because preferred walk-on time is coming. And so is a bill in the spring. And so we want to help so many parents know the difference there. So just make sure that you are having well-rounded students and you have them involved as much as possible. What do you think about working? Like, what about jobs on the road? Like, how is that? Well,
I agree that, you know, you can put your jobs on your resume. You don't need the description. You want to be consistent with your format is my suggestion. Again.
Right.
But again, you can put your employers, your internships. Some people, we do work-based learning. Those opportunities can definitely be put on your resume. I will tell you something that some students are sleeping on that's really easy. Those seals of distinction.
Oh, yeah.
State level. It's recognized by South Carolina Department of Education.
Yeah.
And that's just for our state, for others that are listening. But we have seals of distinction if you're college and career ready, if you're STEM, military.
Yes. And there's other states that have similar things.
Similar things.
Because South Carolina is usually not the first
to
come up with these things. So you probably already have it. But if you do, there could be things that, that might be like you're labeled as a Board of Trustees scholar. Like, you know you're going to be Board of Trustees. Go ahead and put that on your resume. Or if you're going to be, you know, a scholar that's recognized by X school, go ahead and put that on there. Because you know that's going to happen. For those of you who've started to apply to several schools and you're earning some scholarships, because that question came up, you know, all scholarships don't need to go on your success resume. That award is different. And I'll let Miss M tell.
We'll talk about that another time. But
no.
I'm just usually safe with potential life scholarship or Palmetto Fellows scholarship recipient, because that's obvious, you know, based on your scores. But no.
And you know, you may not know why, but once you start putting a bunch of scholarship opportunities on that, you might block a blessing or two, and we don't want you to do that. We want you to, you know, act like you don't have any money, so you can get all the money. It's like I told a parent yesterday, just because you might have it, doesn't mean you want to spend it. I mean, why would you? this week, boot camps going good, the virtual boot camps?
Yeah, we have one tomorrow. That one, we try to take about 20 to 30 people. So I think we're at like 29 right now, which is good. You know, that's a workable, a group that, you know, if they have multiple questions, I can answer. So there's one left next week and that's it. You guys,
is it open? Is it full?
It is. No, the one next week is open.
Okay. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday, that means you have an opportunity on the 25th.
Yes.
Is that what next week is?
That's the last one.
Yeah. Sign up if it's not full.
Yes, if it's not full. And then we're getting ready for our virtual scholarship and college fairs. Go ahead and save the dates, January 28th, March 4th. Most people end up attending both, but registration will open the first week of November.
And those are virtual?
Those will be virtual.
So, okay, so keep that in mind. We know a lot of, you know, if you sign up for the virtual, I'll say this and then she can kick me later. And you heard this on Wednesday and we need to slide you in next Sunday. Message and then say you heard it on the Skulls and Dolls podcast. And then we might be able to figure something out for space. So, but thank you so much for listening. Hopefully you've gathered some things that you can use. Get those success resumes, right? We'll see you next time.
Thank you.